Amen. Good stuff. Amen. Thank you, ladies. Really enjoyed that. And I tell you, the last few times these ladies have sang, it's really been a blessing to my heart. Amen. And I appreciate them using their talent for the Lord. I appreciate everyone using their talent for the Lord. If you have a talent, you ought to use it for the Lord. Amen. And it's kind of like we were talking about at the close of the service this morning. If God's giving you something, share it with others. And that just doesn't go with substance. That goes with talent. You know, if God's giving you a talent, share it with others. And I appreciate those in the church that do that. Well, you have your Bible open to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And I'm just going to give you some thoughts this evening. I prepared to preach out of Hebrews chapter number 6, the latter part of this chapter. And I don't know, just this week and again when I got home today, I just kept coming back to some of these scriptures as I was kind of building some things for the morning service. And God just kept bringing me back to some of these scriptures. And so I want to share some thoughts that God gave me. I want to share them with you. And I hope they'll be a blessing and a help to you. Just some things that that come to remembrance when I look at these verses of scripture. You know what's happening here? What's going on is Moses is writing the children of Israel. They're getting ready. Some people believe they were right there at the brink. They're getting ready to pass over into the promised land. And God said, you know, if you're going to go into the promised land, you're going to have some laws. You're going to have some guidelines to guide you and to guard you and to lead you when you're in the new land. Because God didn't bring the children of Israel out of Egypt to be in the wilderness. You know, that they stayed there way longer than God intended, but they did so because of their stubbornness. And they did so because of their disobedience. However, as we shall see in this chapter, God did not let that go in vain. God used every one of those moments as teaching moments. I'm glad that God is the ultimate teacher. He's always teaching us. I don't know where you are in your life, but I know this. You're in a classroom, and God is teaching you wherever you are. You say, well, I'm on the mountaintop. Well, God has a classroom on the mountaintop. You say, well, I'm in the wilderness. God has a classroom in the wilderness. You say, well, I'm in the valley. Well, God has a classroom in the valley. God's instructing us no matter where we are in our life. And that's really what this chapter's about. It's just about remembering what God is doing in your life. Now, there's a couple of workings that God mentions here. And I think the key that God is trying to teach them is, I am in charge of your life. I am in charge. If you gather things, you need to realize that I've given them to you. I've given you the strength. You certainly have to do your part. God wants you to use the abilities that He's given you. He wants you to use the instruction that He's given. But you have to give the glory to God for what is done. The scripture at the end of the chapter was one I was trying to find this morning. And I went back to it today, and that's what led me back to this chapter. In verse number 18, we'll look at verse 17. Look at it there in chapter number 8. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and my and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. I don't think that he's speaking of just monetary wealth. I think he's speaking of everything that they possess. You know, all that I have, you know, look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Look what I've accomplished. And God said, now that'll get you in trouble. It'll cause you to lift up in your heart, and you'll forget something that's very important that we're going to see before we close this out tonight, and that is a total dependence on God. See, we need to get to this place in our lives. I need to get to this place in my life where I'm totally depending on God. A dependence, you see. God wants me to depend on Him. And so He said, if you begin to think you're doing it, if I begin to think I'm doing it, then we'll forget to depend on God to do it. And God will let us do it on our own. He will. And that never works out very well. It just doesn't. Now listen, you can do some things on your own. There's lost people that accomplish things. You know that. And there's saved people that accomplish some things in the flesh, in the energy of the flesh. But anything that's going to glorify God and that's going to honor Him and that's going to be for His kingdom now, it's going to have to be through the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what God is teaching these folks. Look what He said in verse number 18. But thou shalt remember. There's our word again. Don't forget. We're such forgetful people. He said, you know, you'll get to go along real good, and I'll put you in this land. And that's what he's reviewing here. I'm going to put you in this land, and it's just filled with resources. It's just filled with opportunities. And God said, I'm going to put you in this land, and I'm going to load you up with benefits. I'm going to load you up with resources. And you'll get going along, and you'll get puffed up in yourself, and you'll think that you're the cause. You're the reason of all this. And he said, here's what happened. Look at verse 18. He said, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. He says, so you remember, I'm the one. I'm the one. So let's go back and see what led him to say that. So he said in chapter number 8 and verse number 1, the commandments which I commanded thee this day, you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in. Now see, it's almost as if they're on the brink and they're getting ready to go in into the land, the promised land. And God said, I want you to remember some things when you get over there. It's going to be different. Okay, you've come out of Egypt, and it's going to be different. You've been through the wilderness, and it's going to be different. You're going into another sphere. You're going into another phase of life. He said, there's some things I want you to remember. Now, why am I preaching this tonight? Well, I began to think about this. Everyone here is getting ready to enter into another sphere of their faith. It could be that God always is growing us. We're going from faith to faith. I don't know where you are. And you may not know where the person sitting next to you is spiritually, but God knows where we all are. And God says, I've got some things I'm going to teach you as you get ready to make that move. All right? And so that's what he's doing with these people. What God was doing with them with a physical land, he wants to do in our lives spiritually. So he said, here's some truth that we'll need to latch hold of and take hold of. Look at what he said here in verse number 2. He said, that thou shalt remember all the way. Now, this really spoke to my heart. He said in verse number 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, here's something I thought about. I thought about how patient God is. I want you to write that down, all right? When I read this verse of Scripture, there's so much in here. You just have to kind of let your mind go back and remember what God is doing here. Notice the wording of the Holy Spirit as Moses spoke, and thou shalt remember. Look at that next phrase, all the way. Hey, man, what a journey. All the way. Just think of all the things that transpired. I mean, here they were, listen, 400 years in bondage, all right? God said, I brought you out, and I led you all this way, right? I led you. And he even highlighted some of it. If you'll turn over and you'll look in verse number 15, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness. You see that in verse 15? Wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, and we brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who led thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee. Listen, all of these experiences, God said, I led you all the way in all of these experiences of life. He said, you should have seen me in that. And God wants me to see him in the experiences of life. And God wants you to see him in the experiences of life. Whether they be good experiences in their victory, and it's something that you can shout about, or whether they be maybe not so good experiences and their trials and their burdens or maybe grievances. And it's not something to shout about. It's something to weep about or to mourn about. God said, I want you to see me in all of these experiences, that I've been patient with you. Now, I want you to think about the patience of God with me just for a moment. You see, I just believe this with all of my heart. I am where I am, and you are where you are because God is patient. Can I tell you, we wouldn't even be here if God were not patient. God could have given up on me a long time ago, and he would have been just to do that. God would have been just to do that. I have tried the patience of God. I have tried the grace of God. I have tried the patience and the long-suffering and the goodness of God. I'm not proud of that, but it's so. You have tried the patience and the long-suffering of God. Sometimes we get angry when lost people, when we see them do some of the things that they do, and we get angry at them, but we must remember, as God has been patient with us, we need to also continue to pray, God, be forbearing, be long-suffering with them. Amen. You know who gets mad at Christians when they fail? You know who gets mad at Christians when they don't mature at a level that they want to see them mature? A person who forgets the patience of God. Don't forget that. Remember, when you're dealing with young Christians, when you're dealing with people, whether it be lost people or Christians or young Christians, remember that God is patient. And God wants you to be patient. And God wants me to be patient. If we're going to be good ministers of God, we have to learn this great attribute of God, and that is to be patient with those in whom we minister to. And so the scripture says here, God said, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. Now look at this next phrase, these 40 years. Amen. Not 4 years. Not 14 years or 24 or 34. 40 years. Now a lot of people say, well, you know, 40 years, that's a time of testing of man. Well, it is a time of testing. It's a time, it's like a probation in the scripture, 40. It's a time of testing and probation. But it's also a sign of patience. 40 years. God stuck with them. And look at what God did for them. He fed them. And verse number 4, he kept them clothed there where their raiment would not wax old upon them and their feet would not swell. Look at what it says. These 40 years, God took care of them. God took care of them. Though they would go their own way and though they would murmur and complain, when you read through the book of Exodus and you read how quickly these people turned, I mean, God would do great things, and you know this, you've read this. God would do great miracles in their midst, and then before the sun would set, they'd begin to murmur against God. And they would begin to say, oh, would to God we would have stayed in Egypt. What have you done? Brought us out here to starve? Brought us out here to thirst to death? To famish? They complained against God, and yet God was patient with them. Can I tell you, God's a patient God. And the longer I'm saved, the longer that I'm in this thing, the more I realize just how patient God really is. Now, it's one thing to say God's patient. And it's one thing to hear somebody say God is patient. I want to ask you something. Have you realized the patience of God in your life? Now, I'm not talking about just, we'll say, well, you know, God's patient with sinners. He's patient with saints, too. Amen. God's patient. And so I thought about the patience of God. I'm a better person because God is patient with me. Have you ever noticed that some of the greatest, most faithful people are people with great patience? People that seem to have little patience just don't seem to really accomplish a lot for God. Have you noticed that? If you haven't, can I ask you to just kind of watch and see the people that God is using, and you'll see a people that has, yes, great faith, but great patience. See, faith and patience go together. When you begin to read in the book of Hebrews and you begin to read in other passages of Scripture that talk about faith and belief and trust, you'll see that word patience pop up. It just keeps coming up. You know why? Because God doesn't work on my timeline. And God doesn't work on your timeline. And if we're going to really have a biblical faith, if we're going to really have a faith that it can take hold of God, we're going to have to learn to wait on God sometimes. And just learn what it is to just wait on Him and not get ahead of Him, not get behind Him, but just follow and do what God, as He leads, do what God says to do. Patience. Do you realize the patience of God? Do you realize how patient God's been with you? See, sometimes when we talk about the patience of God, somebody else besides us comes in our mind. Right? We begin to think about somebody maybe that we've tried to help a half a dozen times or a dozen times or two dozen times. We've reached out to them. We've tried to minister to them. We've tried to help them. We've tried to restore them. We tried to bring them back. And we say, my, how patient God is with them. When we really need to begin to think how patient God is with me. Amen? So when you think about the patience of God tonight, and I pray that you will, I pray that this passage of Scripture will just get fixed in your mind and get fixed in your heart. And we'll think about how patient God is, but not how patient God is only with others, but how patient God is with me. God's patient with me. And because God is patient with me, then God teaches me to be patient with others. The patience of God. And so Moses said this. He said in verse number 2, "Thou shalt remember all the way." All the way. God's just been patient with me all the way. If I live until October 26th, Sharon and I got saved the same night, October the 26th. If we lived October 26th this year, that will mark our 40th spiritual birthday. Be 40 years. And I thought about this as I was reading this, how that God led them these 40 years all the way. We've gone through a lot together, up and down and trials and testings. But can I tell you that God, as He was with them all the way and led them all the way, God's been faithful to us all the way. How about you? God been faithful to you? God is faithful, brethren. He's faithful. You know why He's faithful? He's patient. He doesn't give up. See, I don't like to give up on people. And I preached a couple, and it was hard for me to preach that. It really was, but it's Bible. It's Bible. I'm going to preach the Bible. Listen, whether I like it or not, whether I do it or not, I'm going to preach the Bible. Amen. You say, well, you only ought to preach what you do. Well, I'm not going to do you that way. Amen. I'm going to be faithful to preach this book, the Bible. You say, well, I'm only going to read what I can do, preacher. Well, don't you get there now. You read it all and ask God to help you to do it all. Look at verse number 1 again. All the commandments which I commanded this day shall you observe to do. Amen. Yeah. And so he said, God's been patient with you. And God's been patient with me. And so I pray that you would realize God's patient. All right? God is a patient God. Now, in God's long-suffering, that doesn't mean God will have you to drag your feet now. Right? There's times God says, make haste. Doesn't He? Make haste. Get with it. But see, the reason God wants us to learn something about patience first is because of what He's getting ready to get into. You know what the second one is? Did you see it? Look what Moses said God will do. He said, God will be patient with you because God knows that this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Now, I want you to listen to me. Our Christian experience, I've seen some people come out the block now. I mean, you would think, man, this fellow right here, he's going to be the next D.O. Moody. Didn't last a month. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, they get saved. Boy, they can talk it, and they're talking about this. Didn't last a month. Now, listen, God's just as patient with them. I'm not saying God gave up on them. I'm just saying that God is patient because He realizes we have to grow. We have to, every parent in here understands patience, right? Amen? In a whole different level than a person who's not a parent. Parents understand patience. And God is a heavenly Father, and He's patient with us. And He works with us, you see. He works with us. And He works with us at the level of our need. See, I'm glad that God is patient with me different than He is with Brother Brian. And He's patient with Brother Brian different than He is with Brother David. Because God understands where we are in our life, and God is patient with us on the level of our need. And God wants me to be that way as a pastor. And God wants you to be that way as a Christian. See, you just can't treat everybody the same way. You can't assume people are where you are in life. We get in trouble this way. We get in trouble this way. And just assume, well, you know what? They know what I know. Well, they may, but they may not. They know what I know. Well, maybe, but they may not. They may need instruction. So before you get into correction mode, you might ought to get into instruction mode to help them to understand. Now, there's a time for correction, but there's a time for instruction. Be patient because God is patient with us. Look at what else He said. Not only has God been patient, and I want to say I'm a better person. I'm a better pastor. I'm a better husband. I'm a better parent, a grandparent. I believe we're a better church. Because we understand that God is patient. You see, it's made me a better person. I hope it'll make you a better Christian. I hope it'll make you a better husband. Boy, I tell you, I used to be very impatient. And sometimes I still can be. Sharon, don't you say amen. You say, well, I'm impatient and I think it's spiritual. Well, you've got a lot to learn. See, the Bible says we ought to be like God. And God is patient. And God is conforming us into the image of His Son, Jesus. God wants you to, and I to be patient people. He does. It makes us better people. Again, I challenge you now. I challenge you. Do it this week. Go home and begin to write down people that have impacted your life, that's made a difference in your life, that really are impacting people's life for the kingdom. And there's an attribute that you'll find, at least one, there may be others, that you'll find in common with them. They're patient people. Because God has shown Himself faithful and patient to them, they have shown themselves faithful and patient to those in whom they minister to. It's very important. Very important. God showed Himself patient. He did. Could have wiped these folks out. You say, well, now, a bunch of them died in the wilderness. Yeah, I know. But now a bunch of them didn't, too. And they went on over and crossed on over into the land. Notice what else he said. Just thoughts that God's laid on my heart. All right? Be patient. Remember that God's patient with you. It'll really change the way you serve Him. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, I think some folks just serve God out of duty. Now, young people, I want you to look right up here at me because I'm going to give you something that'll help you right here. And I want you to listen very, very carefully to me. A lot of you are under the tutelage, you're under the authority of your father and your mother in your home. And you may be here tonight. Now, I hope not, but the only reason you may be here tonight is because mom and dad said so. I don't know. I don't know what's in your heart. I'm going to tell you something about serving God. If the only way that you'll serve God is out of duty, you're not going to serve Him very long. You're not going to serve Him very long. Duty will only get you so far. There's going to have to come a time in our lives when we serve God because He's worthy. We serve God because we just want to do something. God, You've done so much for me. God, You've brought me so far. Lord, You're so good to me. I just feel compelled. I just love You so much. I've just got to do something for You. I was telling the Sunday school class this morning, it's just not in me to sit around and take in and take in and take in. I just got to give something back. How about you? See, God just keeps giving and giving and loading me down with benefits, and I just feel compelled. I just love Him. He's worthy. I just want to do something for Him. Not because He commanded me to, though He has. He started it out right here. Look again in verse number 1. All the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do. But now if that's where it ends, you're not going to do it for a very long period of time. You're not going to do it. At some point, the heart has to kick in. And now notice what God said here. And thou shalt remember all the way, verse 2, which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? God said, I want you, listen, God already knows what's in your heart. God said, I want you to know what's in your heart. I want you to know why you're doing what you're doing. God already knows. See, the heart is wicked, desperately wicked. It's deceitful. People say, well, you know, preacher, if I know my heart, you don't. Right? I was telling them again the Sunday school class this morning, this thing about following your heart, you know, don't follow your heart. That's craziness. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The times that I have gotten in trouble was when I was following my heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow God. What's he saying here? Write it down. There's patience. And then the second thing, purpose. God said, now here, I was patient with you because I was leading to a purpose. God said, I had somewhere I was taking you. I was taking you to a place, not just physically, though God will take us to physical places in our experience. But spiritually, God has a place where He wants you and I to be. And He said, along the way, as you encounter life's experiences, remember that God has a purpose in them. What are the purposes, preacher? What are the purposes? When the children of Israel were going through and encountering some of those things, you say, well, it was because of their rebellion. Well, now, wait a minute. I want you to notice what he said here in verse number 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee. Look at it. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. God did it to teach him a lesson. All right? God suffered them to hunger. God let them go without some food. Now, what is God doing here? Well, let's just back up and see what God's doing as far as purpose, and then I'll be through. I don't have a long message, I don't think. He said in verse number 2, he led thee these 40 years to humble thee. There's not a person in here that doesn't need to be humbled. We all are just so full of ourselves. We're so full of pride. Oh, now, preacher, I'm not proud. Well, you're so proud you don't even realize you're proud. Now, I'm being serious. Proud, arrogant, self-sufficient, self-reliant. See, that's what it does. And God wanted these people to depend on him. And that's why he said, if you'll look again there in verse number 3, he said, I suffered thee to hunger. Why? He said, I want you dependent on me. I want you to depend on me. So, well, you know, I believe a man, if he doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Well, who gave you that energy to work?
Man.
Amen. Who gave you that food to eat? You say, well, Food Line did. Who gave it to Food Line? Well, the farmers did. Who gave it to the farmers?
Amen.
Rather than everything that's good in life, you can trace back to God. And somehow we just feel like we've got to exalt man. We've got to get man in there. We somehow got to get our hand in on it. Brother, I'm here to tell you that if we would just give God the glory alone, God would show himself in a greater way than what we're seeing. But somehow we've got to get involved in it. We've got to somehow get our name involved in it. We've got to get our name on the docket. You know, we somehow got to get ourselves inside of that situation so people see I had a little something to do with that. But God said, I want to teach you something. And there's three things I want you to write down as far as this purpose. Number one, he said, I want to teach you to have an allegiance to me. Look what he said there in verse number 2. He said, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart. God said, I wanted you to be have an allegiance to me. I don't want you trusting another man. I don't want you trusting in yourself. I don't want you trusting another human being. I want you to have an allegiance to me. Who's your allegiance to? Your employer? Your spouse? Your parents? Who's your allegiance to? Our allegiance should be to God Almighty. Amen. That's who our allegiance should be. People say, well, I've heard people say, he worships the ground she walks on. I sure hope not. I sure hope not. Yeah, well, preacher, that's just a figure of speech. Well, don't confuse the little children. Only ground we need to be worshiping is the ground of Jesus Christ. Brethren, we're living in a day of idolatry. And we have to be careful how we phrase things and how we use things. We have to be careful who our allegiance is to. We get mad at the world because they have an allegiance to a Black Lives Matter or allegiance to some radical group. But what we need to understand, if we're not careful, we as Christians will have wrong allegiances. Our allegiance should be to God and God alone. God said, I did this. I'm patient with you to humble you because you're proud. He said, I did it to prove thee, because I want you to have an allegiance. And he said, I did it to find out what was in your heart. You know, when the pressure gets turned up, you'll find out where your allegiance is. When the going gets tough, when the covers begin to get barren, when things get a little tight, you'll find out who your allegiance is to. And that's what God is telling them. It is. So I ask you, who is your allegiance to? I have to ask myself that question. The purpose of God is that our allegiance would be to him. Number two, the purpose of God is that our obedience would be to him. Notice what he said there. He said the latter part of verse number 2, look at it, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Sometimes it's easier than others to keep God's commandments. It is. God said, you know, I'll allow things to happen in your life to see who your allegiance is to and to see if you're going to keep the commandments in the good times as well as the not so good times. Right? Going to see. Going to see where your allegiance is. Going to see about your obedience. And then finally, he said in verse number 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna. What's that saying? Dependence. God said, I wanted you to be hungry because I wanted to be the one to feed you so you would depend on me, so you would see that I'm faithful. I come through every time if you will depend on me. But now, if you're going to depend on others, I'll let you depend on them. There's some folks, maybe, I hope none here tonight now. I don't know what's in your heart. You may be dependent on you, and God will let you depend on you. That's not going to get you very far. It's not. And so he said, I want you to understand that the experiences that happen in life, they're for a purpose. Now let's wrap this up. What's going on in your life? What's been going on the last several weeks and months? Can you look back and see the hand of God and how God has a purpose? Maybe it was to humble. Maybe it was to test. Sometimes God will test us to show us what's really in our heart. Sometimes we think we're one thing and we're not because we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And God will give us a test to show us you're not what you think you are, son. Amen? And this is good for us. And it doesn't always feel good. So we think it has to feel good to be good. No. No, there's some things that are good for us that doesn't always necessarily feel good. And so God said, I did this to help you. Yes, I'm patient with you because I have a purpose for you. And in life's experiences, God wants to show himself. He wants to fulfill the purpose. What are you going through? Does it seem like a mountain that cannot be climbed? Depend on God. Does it seem like a situation that cannot be resolved? God wants you to depend on him. God wants you to hunger a little bit. God wants me to thirst a little bit so I can depend on him. God wants us all to do that. It's God's way of drawing us to himself, teaching us to turn our allegiance and our obedience and our dependence toward him. Verse number 3 says, he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. You didn't have any idea, nor did your fathers. But God said, I've got it under control. I want to tell somebody here tonight that you don't know what's going on, nor do your parents, nor do your friends. But God's got it under control. Are you listening to me? God has it under control. He does. He's patient that way. He has a purpose that way. And the judge of all the earth is not going to do wrong. He's going to do right. And God is faithful that way. There's an enemy who tries to twist our thinking and turn our minds not to accept these truths that I've preached to you from God's Word tonight. He wants our hearts to be gripped with fear and doubt. But God wants to fill our heart with faith and assurance and trust and dependence that he has things and purpose in store for us. We just need to trust him. Now let's wrap it up by reading the latter part of this, okay? He said, the latter part of verse number 3, he said, that you might know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. God wants you and I to know that there's more than the material, brethren. God wants us to know there's more than the temporal. There's more than what the eye can see. There's more than what the hand can do. There's a God in heaven. He's supernatural. And there's absolutely nothing impossible with him. God wants us to know that. And God said, if you get away from this now, if you get away from this, you'll get puffed up And you'll begin to think that you and that man and the world system and the hands of man are involved, and that's what's taking care of things. And God said, don't get into that realm. You're messing up when you get into that realm. God wants us to live outside the natural and get involved in the supernatural. I like it when people tell me, when I tell them things, I've had people tell me, well, that's not natural. And I tell them, you're exactly right. It's supernatural. Because the God I serve is supernatural. And He wants me to set my affection, and He wants me to live my life in the realm of the supernatural. And when I don't, I'm weakened. And I begin to doubt, and I begin to slip, and I begin to rely on me instead of rely on God. So I just wanted again to put us a little bit in remembrance. I'm reminded of what Peter said as we stand to our feet. Peter said, brethren, I'm going to put you in remembrance some things, though you know these things. You say, preacher, I already know God's patient. Well, I just wanted to make sure, so I thought I'd tell you again. Well, I already know God has a purpose in all things. Well, I just wanted to not be negligent. I wanted to put you in remembrance of that. That trial that you're going through, that hard place, maybe at the job, maybe in the home, maybe in the family, maybe with your health, I don't know. Maybe with your marriage, maybe with your children, maybe you've got a wayward child. I don't know what's going on in people's lives. There's people watching live stream. I have no idea what's going on in people's lives, but I know what God puts in my heart. And I know that people need to hear the truth of God's word, that there's a God in heaven, that with Him, all things are possible. Now, without Him, nothing's possible. That's right. But with Him, all things are possible. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. Let's bow our heads together.